not real. It's just a computer-generated fantasy.
You are listening to Spectres of the Future, a gadget and technology radio show that airs on 93.7 Edge FM, Bega Valley, Australia. For links and info, even videos about our stories, please visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/spectors of the future.
You're with Chris S. and Brex. Of course, you're listening to Spectres of the Future. How you doing, Brex?
Good, Chris, good. And great week for tech.
A great week for tech and lots of go-go gadgets this week as well.
Heaps of gadgets, so many gadgets. Had to narrow it all down, but a couple of really interesting ones. A few to do with training your pet.
Oh, cat videos and gadgets.
And portable power. Yeah, awesome stuff.
Portable power. We love a bit of portable power. Let's kick off then. First story. Magnetic stimulation. I think we could all do with a little bit of magnetic stimulation now and again.
It sounds weird, but it has a lot of medical applications, apparently, especially in treating depression, of all things.
Wow. So does this mean if you walk around with your headphones on all day, you might actually, apart from the tunes, be making yourself happy?
Yeah, could be. Maybe mobile phones are making us happy and full of tumours. No, this is a bit different. Transcranial magnetic stimulation, they call it. It's been getting more and more attention in the last couple of years, but they've released some research material as of yesterday. The American Psychiatric Association's annual meeting in New York. They released a whole bunch of results to do with this magnetic stimulation. They found that a lot more people are reacting to it than traditional drug medications.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Some of those drugs are a bit hit and miss, and there seems to be a lot of people taking them in the States.
Yeah, actually, you'd be surprised. Apparently, up to 40% of patients don't improve with the drugs. So this is pretty good. They report that 53% of people treated had shown a recovery, complete recovery, or at least a near recovery from depression by using this treatment. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, I'm just looking at it now. And so it's just a big electromagnet that's applied to the left side of the forehead. And this induces currents in neurons in the left prefrontal cortex. This sounds like an interesting one. I'll pop a link up to that on the Facebook page, folks, so you can have a little look. If you want to read a little bit more about your prefrontal cortex,
check it out. The therapy's not cheap, though. It's about $1,000 per patient per year. But you know what? Maybe the drugs are a lot worse. Who knows?
Well, I guess what you're paying, you know, whether you've got public health or not, might dictate whether that cost is a good thing or not.
That's a good Possibly. Point. It really depends on if you're paying the power bill as well.
Now, everyone loves a good detective TV show, and God knows there's enough of them out there, and that all seems to be about, you know, DNA and...
And fictional technologies.
Fictional technologies, yeah. There's a lot of them in there. But is this a new technology, photographic fingerprints?
It's not too new. It's been around for a little while, but the way that they're using this tracking technology is pretty new. It's pretty cool. So... You can take a photograph with your smartphone, any kind of smartphone these days. And what these photos can now have done to them, you can scan them for the noise pattern that develops on the photo. And that noise pattern's unique to every kind of sensor in every single different phone. Basically, it gives a unique fingerprint for that specific phone.
So for that, but it could be a camera as well, yes? Any sort of photographic device.
Exactly. Any kind of digital thing basically has a unique noise pattern. And so police can now use this sort of stuff and integrate it with things like social networks. This is the kind of new system that they're using. Searching things like Facebook, Flickr, Tumblr, Google+. So a paper earlier this year, researchers were saying that they're able to match the photo to a specific person 56% of the time. Which isn't a lot. I mean, it's just above half, but it's a lot better than, you know, randomly guessing what kind of brand it is and what kind of phone it is and who could be taking it. There's a whole lot of other information that sort of police or detectives could throw into the mix to help narrow this sort of stuff down. So it's interesting. It's kind of a good thing, I think.
Yeah, it might not stand up in a court of law, 56%, but as a policeman, I guess it would give you some leads perhaps in the right direction to at least investigate some people that you might have just written off.
It also might be useful for other things, you know, historical tracking of digital photography, say, or something like that.
I wonder if you could use it to copyright your photographs.
Maybe. Well... Maybe not your specific. Maybe if you put a unique scratch on your lens, you could.
Something on your sensor. Put a little scratch on your sensor.
Could work. Better than putting up on the internet and hoping no one steals it.
Now, the big tech news, I think, for the last 12 months, and everyone seems to be jumping on board, the smartwatch bandwagon.
Yeah.
And it seems like Microsoft are actually making a bit of headway with this one.
Yes, there's been a recent discovery. A patent has been dug out of.
Who goes around digging up these patents? Is the researchers get paid, or is it just a bunch of dweebs who are really into looking at the patents? I could just imagine.
There's a couple of different ones. This one was actually pulled up by Patent Bolt, which is an online presence that does this kind of stuff all the time. You can get some interesting stuff, but you know. A very small percentage of them actually turn into anything real. This, however, is Microsoft. If there was ever going to be someone to make these things, it would be Microsoft and the other giants. So anyway, the rumor about the smartwatch has been going around a long time. Microsoft now has this patent that's got some pretty cool-looking tech. It's basically a smartwatch that can be removed from a band, like a wristband.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it's the processing unit which can be removed from the band itself. The band itself can also have components inside of it. So at the moment, they're speculating this could be for different colors. You have different kind of different looking bands. You could have things like a fitness band, a radio receiver band. You know, there's a couple of different sort of gimmicks they could throw into these bands.
Oh, yeah.
The patent does specifically mention that they're going to try and put a heart rate monitor into one of the bands. So it looks like the fitness angle might be something they're going for in the future.
Yeah, and possibly even patient health in hospitals eventually. Just that little ID tag that you have on your hand perhaps could read your pulse as well and send a little some data back to the nurse's station, etc.
The patent also has detailed a wireless dock letting you charge this thing up wirelessly, which is something I'd really like to see in a lot more devices. But yeah, it seems like a pretty cool thing. The smartwatch is the future.
It seems that way, doesn't it? It seems like everyone's on board with this. I haven't heard anything from Apple and their smartwatch.
Well now, Chris.
Oh, yes.
This next patent is from Apple, and it's not technically a smartwatch, but it's for a touch-sensitive button that will ignore unintended touches.
Huh? Hang on, explain that to me.
Okay, so you've basically got two types of button you can use these days. You can have a traditional button, like the old iPhones and such.
Oh yeah, you push it and something happens.
You get that nice click. Those guys wear out after a while. It's just going to happen. The other option is sort of a bit more like Android. Everything is capacitive touch, which means it's reacting to your skin's electric field.
Mm-hmm.
You barely need to touch them. But they're very, very easy to accidentally trigger. So Apple's now putting the two together. They've made this button, or the patent rumors, indicate this button has a sensor underneath it, which can actually detect if it's a finger that touches it or not, ignoring everything else.
Ah, now I wonder how it does that.
Well, it sort of has like a little, from the patent, and they're all black and white and pretty sketchy, it can sort of identify the shape of a finger. So if you brush it with your arm or something. But anyway, that's beside the point. The point is that this kind of button is showcased in the patent on an iPod on a wrist strap. Where touches and, you know, accidental brushes are going to happen.
Now, that couldn't have been accidental, surely.
That's got smartwatch written all over it.
Yeah, okay, so it looks like both Microsoft and Apple are definitely well into the smartwatch wars already, as far as the patents are concerned, anyway.
Yeah, before we know it, we'll be doing everything from our wrist.
The other big gadget of late and that's been hanging around for a while has been Google Glass, but, and you know, I haven't seen anyone wearing one on the streets yet. Have you, Brex?
No, the glass heads.
Have you seen any glass heads? No?
No, I haven't seen any personally. But there are a few out there. Most of them are actually hired by Google. They're allowed dibs on them. So.
Yeah.
But Google Wallet. Have you heard of Google Wallet, Chris?
Now, I haven't used Google Wallet. My iPhone's got a wallet on it. And I went down to Melbourne recently and went to the football. And I've got to say, this idea of having your tickets on your phone, because these days, obviously, you just scan your ticket and go through the turnstile. So what I did was just pulled my phone out, opened one ticket, one person went through, swiped my phone, next ticket, next person went through the turnstile, swiped my phone, next ticket, etc., etc. I thought it was genius.
The ultimate inconvenience.
Very convenient. So how does Google Wallet work with Glass then? Or how does Google Wallet work?
Well, Wallet's essentially a form of PayPal that you can walk around and use for payments, but just on a side note there, Google does take a 2.9 cut of every transaction if a credit card or debit card is used.
What?
Yeah, just letting you guys know. But that's, I think it's, yeah, here we are. It's reduced to 30 cents if the transaction's less than $10. So for small things, it might be all right.
Still, 30 cents. Who does that get paid by? The merchant or the person doing the buying?
The person doing the buying, I believe.
Okay, well, there's a price for convenience.
Yes, there is. But anyway, they're going to make it more convenient in other ways. Now, with a Google Glass unit, you can access your Google Wallet all vocally. So you can basically add your friend to your friends list and say, Google Glass, send Chris $5 from my wallet. And it will do it.
Nice.
They're saying that it'll probably have some kind of confirmation phrase you have to speak, so you can't accidentally send all of your funds to some of your random friends.
Yeah, while a guy holds a knife to you. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I'm not sure that Google Glass or Google Wallet are quite at the stage where they need that yet. So.
Yeah, the cashless society is getting even cashless. It seems, yeah. So 30 cents, if you're buying a coffee, you're going to get pinged for 30 cents. Well, such is life. You can't have nothing for nothing. Now, this is another one from Google. This is their modular phone. Now, they took this project over, didn't they?
Yeah, so long-time listeners will remember our modular phone system. It was basically the Lego blocks phone.
Yeah, now wasn't it Motorola who originally were into
it? I think Motorola had their fingers in the pie at some stage. To be honest, I haven't kept up with Motorola, but now Google's own modular smartphone, they're calling it Project Ara, A-R-A. It looks fairly similar. It's it looks like a 10-gram cross Lego blocks.
Oh,
it's hard to imagine. It's a whole bunch of different rectangles and squares.
Okay, I'm flipping over to have a look. Oh, yeah, I can see it right now. Okay, yeah, it is kind of wild. I love the camera bit.
Yeah, the camera's sort of in a molded frame. It sort of pokes out about a centimeter, doesn't it?
It's like a proboscis. And it's got an aerial on it. Now, I haven't seen a phone with an aerial for a long time.
A little bit of history repeating.
It's kind of retro and funky. I like it.
So the guys behind making this are 3D systems, and they've just outlined a whole bunch of 3D printing techniques that they're using to make these modules for the phone, all the little different bits. They're actually in that aerial, Chris. I did read that they were using a conductive ink to print out parts of the aerial.
Wow. Okay, so that's kind of wild.
We did cover some conductive ink a while back in 3D
printing. For PCBs, wasn't it?
Exactly. Here you can see it in action. Terrific. So they're going to be using, they're not going to be using traditional 3D printing methods, they say. They're going to switch to a more continuous system, a bit like a car production line.
Right, yeah, rather than doing it as a
And they're going to spit these modules out by the millions, they claim. All sorts of different colours, very customisable. You might be able to get a full 256 or more range of colours and hues for your phone bits. Sounds pretty cool. Even transparent bits as well.
And you know what? Ecologically, it's such a great idea. So, you know, if you just want a better camera on your phone, but you're quite happy with your phone, you can just upgrade the camera in it.
I have mixed feelings about it. To be honest, they're going to need a really fantastic method of recycling the bits that you don't want anymore. Otherwise, the other thing that people don't seem to realize is because everything's split into a little bit, the whole phone overall is not going to be as compact and streamlined as most modern phones are these days. Hence the things like the pointy outy camera and the aerial.
But I think it will appeal to a sort of a geeky gadget niche market. I'm sure they're going to sell these things without too much of a problem.
I already want one.
Yeah, no, they're a fine looking phone. Project ARA, A-R-A. You can either Google it or you can go along to the Facebook page and have a peek. Now, Brex, where are we up to? Some gadgets. We got some more gadgets.
I got a bunch of gadgets here. Some really
you got a swag, a whole grab bag of gadgets for us today. What are we kicking off with?
Let me start off with another phone accessory. This is an iPhone 5 case. It's an atomizer built into the case.
Now, this is an Indiegogo, isn't it? An atomizer built into the case. Is this for so you can smell who you're talking to?
Why not? You can put fragrances in there. You can use it as a perfume thing. They're also claiming you can put things like hand sanitizers in there, mouthwash. You might even be able to get the nicotine supplements and put them in there. Almost any kind of fluid can be put into it. It's got a small fluid container where you can put it in, and it snaps onto your case. And the top's got a bit of a nozzle. You can spray it, and there you go. Directly on the phone. I think a mouth freshener.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Just for that little, you want to be minty fresh.
You can do it on the fly. You know, you pretend you're on the phone and
just there you go,
right in the mouth.
Maybe you could put pheromones in it.
You could do that.
Just see a hottie on the train. It's like
nothing like a quick spritz. They've just started that Indiegogo project. So if you're into that, check it out. Pretty cool.
Now, Indiegogo and Kickstarter are always a wealth of good gadgets.
The next three are actually Kickstarters.
It's a Kickstarter, right? Yeah, okay. This one looks good.
This is the Go Plug. It's a backpack that's got a power plug on it, a power point on it.
Hang on, is this like a regular 240 volt? Oh, it is too.
It is exactly that.
I'm looking at it now.
That's what they're aiming to do. Basically, supply a USB charging port and a three-pronged outlet.
Hang on. This thing just looks like a car battery in someone's old school bag with an inverter in it. I mean, how difficult is that? And they've already got $26,000.
That's exactly what it is, really. At the moment, that's exactly what it is. But, you know, Kickstarter, once they get some funding, they'll make it nice, they'll make it lighter, they'll make it more manageable. True question is, how much else you can fit in that backpack?
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot. And how heavy is it going to be, too?
That's a good point, yeah.
Oh, but I do know...
Maybe for camping or something, that could be useful.
I do note it's a universal plug, so you can plug anything into it, and it's got two USB outlets as well. So,
Portable power. You know, portable it might power. Be worth carrying it around if you can get your iPhone to last past a day.
Yeah, I don't know. When someone in our family got one of those little power and go things the other day when we were travelling, and just to top up mobile phones on the run, and you know, okay, they only give you one or two charges, but they're kind of worth it. Cheaper than getting a new battery for your phone.
That's for sure.
Okay, we're on to pets now.
Yes. Some
pets and tech.
Fantastic pet ones. This one's called the Clever Pet. It's for your dog. It's great. So it's part feeding dish, part Simon Says. Do you remember those old... gadgets back in the day that have four coloured lights that would...
And you had to follow them. It's I know what you mean. You had to press them in the same sequence that it did them.
That's the one. And it's similar to that. Okay, so first of all, what it does is one of the foot panels light up, the dog pushes it, he gets some food.
Oh, okay, so it's a reward thing.
It's a reward thing. And then the next time, it does a little puzzle, and he has to push two or three. And then the puzzles get harder and harder and harder, and he gets more and more rewards. It's aimed at not training them mentally, but, you know, keeping them entertained, keeping
them busy.
Yeah.
I like that idea. And so does it send you a text message or something, or an email when the dogs had some food? You know the dogs had something to eat?
They haven't quite got a lot of details into this yet, but I think maybe their second generation will have some more stuff like that.
Or easily updated with new interactions via app. That could be kind of cool. So when Rover's getting a bit bored, you could put a new game in there for him.
There you go. Keep things lively. Keep them on edge. The next one, however, this one's certainly had a lot of thought put into it.
This is for kitty cats, yeah?
Yeah. It's a bit telling, you know, cat owners and dog owners. Maybe there's something to it. But this is the Kittyo, Kittyo, remote cat laser.
A remote cat laser, so you don't have to be there to tease the cat.
You don't even need to be in your own house. It lets you remotely connect via a smartphone.
Okay, I'm watching the video now. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. You connect via the smartphone. Oh, this is awesome. You got to see this video, folks. You just put your finger on the screen, move it around, and it goes where the laser goes, where you point it.
So the laser tracks your motion and then has a little gimbal sort of thing inside.
I love it. And the video is of a woman sitting at her desk at the office. So obviously she's gotten a little bit bored. She's got a minute or two to spare. Oh, why don't I see what Kitty's up to?
It's probably a lot better than playing Farmville or something, I'd imagine.
That's true.
You can also dispense treats. It's got a little multiple packet dispenser thingy where you can send out treats to your cat. You can even talk to them as well.
These guys have got over 200 grand pledged already.
Exactly.
It looks like an April Fool's joke, but they will make it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and like 1,800 backers and they've got $200,000. They're doing okay. There's a lot of people with cats out there.
Yeah. and money.
Have a look at the video, guys. It's called Kittyo, Kittyo. That's a beauty. That's the most fun I've seen with tech and kittens in a long time. Now, everyone's had their hard drive go down. You know, you need to back up, folks. Everyone should be backing up.
I lost two in the last couple of months.
Ooh, that hurts.
2 gigabytes worth of stuff down the drain. Seagate are announcing a new batch of their Wireless Plus external hard drives. So this isn't completely new. Seagate have had a 1 terabyte option available, which is enormous, but also a little bit expensive, $179.
Okay.
So they've recently brought out a 500 gigabyte model, which is certainly enough, and a 2 terabyte model as well. So if you want to go up...
You really have to go up. Yeah, you can go up, yeah.
150 and 100, or 199, respectively. But the greatest thing about these things is they're not just used for your computer. They can be used for your smartphone or your tablet as well, all wirelessly.
Oh, so you can put all your... and are they portable? Can you stick all your movies on them and have it sitting in your bag or something, maybe? Or is it going to be... Or maybe it's going to be plugged in. Who knows?
You're going to have to plug that in, unfortunately.
Ah, but that's okay. But if you've got your tablet and you want to watch films... And you haven't got enough space on your tablet, this would be the way to go, yeah?
Exactly. Or anything like that, you know, you might want to store your books or something on it. Or,
yep.
Anyway, it's streaming wireless media, perfect for that sort of thing.
I need one of those for my photographs. My hard drive is getting very, very bogged up.
That'd be great. Synchronize all of your photographs from all of your devices, perfect. Anyway, that's something to think about. Got one more here for you, Chris. This is a good one. You ready for this? This is the pinnacle of technology.
Yeah, hit me with it.
A transparent toaster.
Oh, so you can see when the toast is burning.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Amongst all the GPSs, all of the Oculus Rift and whatnot, we skipped over the toaster.
How has this not happened before?
Heating this bread will never be the same.
So this is just a toaster with a window in it, basically.
Yeah, it's basically just that.
Wow.
Oh, it looks stylish. It looks pretty good. You have got to admit.
I like the opening line. This is the toaster with a built-in window that allows users to monitor levels of browning and ensure toast is cooked to perfection. It's a great line. I wish I'd written that. You can monitor the levels of browning. I think we need to get one of these in our household. Because, you know, those buttons on the side never work properly, do they? You can never get it right.
Put it up a little bit, put it down. It comes
and then when you do get it right, someone comes and moves it onto the way they like it. Okay, no, I definitely have to. $100. That's a bargain.
Small price to pay for monitoring browning levels.
It's from the... Can you tell me what website it's on?
It's from Coolest Gadgets. It's from Hamaka.com.
Ah, Hamaka Schlemmer. Hamakaschlemmer.com.
That's the one.
That's the one. Oh, yeah, Hamaka.com. Yeah, but the company's Hamaka Schlemmer. I love that, Hamaka Schlemmer. That's great gadgets this week. Thank you very much, Brex.
No worries.
I'll be going out to see if I can order that toaster straight away.
Terrific. We'll catch you next week.
See you next week.
For links and info, even videos about our stories, please visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/spectors of the future.